29, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk, interviews, and professional sports news, all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside, open three for Poindexter, got it!
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Braden Fogerson, Benjamin Hootie, I'm Mikey Franley. Not to say Braden's not my friend. I just felt like I had to throw something else in there.
Yeah.
I gave up another got it yesterday on ESPN for the women's basketball call. I was doing it for E+, and I didn't even realize, but it was Caroline Waite, who is going to be the Lord and Savior of this ISU women's basketball team, hit a huge open three, and I just went a classic Red Zone open, got it. And
that's your Mike Breen,
I guess so.
Moment.
Yeah. Or have you seen Carlo Jimenez? He's famous on TikTok, and he is a former student broadcaster at USC. He took a job this year as the radio voice of the Los Angeles Clippers out of college.
Oh, really? This guy is awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's good.
He sounds just like Mike Breen. And his thing though is he says nylon instead of bang or got it. It's like a net. It is pretty cool. Like when Paul George makes a huge shot, nylon. It is pretty cool.
Yeah,
he does
a
good job. I remember following that guy on TikTok like maybe a year or two ago when he was still at USC.
It's pretty crazy how like fast he made it through.
Well, he won like the Jim Nance Award for like best college broadcaster in America. I guess I don't know if it's the world or America. I'm assuming it's America. But we're here for a new episode of the Red Zone. Like I started talking about with Caroline Waite. The ISU women's basketball team had their first home game yesterday, as did the men's team in a doubleheader. I was fortunate enough to call the women's game. Ben was there working both games. We'll do some Thanksgiving talk in the second half. I think we'll save that. Let's just get right into some Redbirds. First, we'll start with the women, because they had the earlier game yesterday. They improved to 2-1 on the season, not including their rout against Illinois Wesleyan. That was exhibition. They lost to Green Bay by 20, but yesterday kind of picked up with a nice win, 90-86 to SIUE. And to be fair, that's not a good example of what the score actually was. Right at the end, SAUE made a couple garbage time shots.
Yeah. It was a pretty ugly game overall by ISU, but it was nice to see Deanna Wilson, even though I know she's dealing with an injury right now. She looked really good just all day in the paint, as well as making a three-pointer, I think, as well.
Yeah,
she has not been scared to take the three shot early in the season.
I think she has won a game, and they're calling her Three Anna Wilson. And it's funny because, I mean, what more can you do when you've won some of the best defensive players in the Valley Awards?
Yeah.
You're in your fourth season at ISU, your fifth season of college eligibility, final season. How much more can you improve your game and step out of your role? And for Deanna, that was working on her long distance shot this offseason, and kind of talking to Coach Gillespie about it, she kind of seemed to think that she encourages it. She's like, if she has an open shot, that's just another tool in our bag. Talk about Maya Wong having her career high yesterday as well, and she didn't get a shot in until the second half. I think there was definitely some talk, because she had some open looks in the first half and just didn't take them. So I think she was told during halftime, like, hey, you know, Paige Robinson's not around anymore. Mary's not around anymore. You got to take some of these shots, and you have them. And she put up 19 points at the end.
Averaging 17.5 on the year in the early part of the season. I think she was definitely a player that you kind of circled to hopefully have a big year, obviously, with you mentioning the loss of Robinson and Wong. And so far, she's stepped up big for them as their leading point guard. She obviously brings the ball up the court for them almost every single time that she's on the court. So I think if she could continue to replicate this throughout the season and into conference play, we're looking at a very similar team to what we saw a year ago.
Speaking of my god, I love what I've seen of Caroline Waite. She is awesome. Former MVC Freshman of the Year with Bradley. I think one thing that I like to keep saying is what's the pros and cons of the transfer portal, right? We've talked about this on the show. I guess it's a pro for us and a con for them that a team in Bradley's women's basketball team that went, I believe, like 0-30 in conference in total last year. Like, it was ridiculous. And what do? They poached their best offensive player to become a role player, basically, with ISU. Not a role player, but she's not expected to carry all the weight anymore on this ISU team, and she's a great, great, great shooter. And it's so cool to see early on in her ISU career.
Now, we don't know early on the answer to this question, but, like, I think roughly 20-point loss to Green Bay, like, just barely squeaking out this one. I just, you know, this team has regressed somewhat because they've lost their star players. But they also added some pieces to try and make up for that.
Yeah.
And the players have gotten older. So during non-con, we're going to be, it's going to be hard to know until conference play for sure whether or not this team is the same or still really solid. But you're still in the feeling out process of whether this team is going to be that much different in terms of success than last year, in which they were one of the front runners for MVC all year.
They were voted third in the MVC preseason poll.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that also goes into what we've seen of some of these freshman players. They have their things they need to work on, that's for sure. But there were three freshmen, Dowell, Lenz, and who am I forgetting? Brooke Coffey, who played a lot yesterday and in their first home game, and they played well. There was little mistakes, but I think that's kind of I think Gillespie said something along the lines of, this feels like one of her deepest teams since she's been around, because there is no Mary Crompton or a Paige Robinson, but there, you know, you have your Deanna Wilson. But Deanna Wilson's best compared to like a Dennis Rodman. Like, she's such a defensive minded player that's such a great addition to a team. You don't have one set star. You have a great deep roster.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking back to all the games last year too, and they really only ran like a 7-man unit last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously with the starters, with everyone that you know, and then as well as they're really that all that would come off the bench last year was Stinson, Alzma, and I think I'm missing one other as well.
Yeah, and Alzma's a starter now.
And Alzma's a starter.
Yeah.
She's a player that I think, obviously it's her sophomore year. She was a really nice peach off the bench last year, because she would just come in and always make corner threes.
Yeah.
You definitely want to get her going as we kind of get in the season here, because it almost feels like they're kind of hyping her up to be the next Mary Crompton, coming in as a freshman and being a really good three-point shooter and even taking her number now, too.
They didn't retire that number for Mary yet, I see. She's the all-time three-point leader in the Missouri Valley. She has a very good chance of getting that number hung up in the rafters.
Yeah, I don't know what the criteria is for that.
I think it has to be enough time. I don't know if they consider...
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know if they consider accomplishments post-grad. I don't know if they think about, if somebody goes pro, does that help their case? Mm. Like, will Paul DeJong automatically get it because he went pro and, you know, had a great career? So far has had a decent career, an all-star and stuff like that. Mm. I don't know how that works. I think you have to donate enough back too, which sounds kind of flawed. But then again, Paul DeJong renamed the entire baseball hitting cage after himself and rebuilt this thing for him. And actually, from what I've heard, donated additional money so he could still have them finish the project and name it in time for last season. So I think Paul's all on board with doing everything he can to give back to ISU.
You know how much money is Duffy Bass been bringing lately? Maybe they can have a little competition to see who gets the naming rights for the baseball stadium.
Paul DeJong Stadium. That'd be awesome.
They'll never change it.
Paul DeJong Field would be awesome. If Paulie D wants to buck up and completely refurbish the baseball field, they'll change it.
He's got to get a job first.
How many teams did he play on at the end of the year? He played on the Giants.
Three.
And the
Cardinals got traded to the Blue Jays for like 2 weeks maybe.
And they dropped him.
Bobichet came back, cut him. He finished out with the Giants.
With the Giants.
He's okay with the Giants on that.
I think
and the
so.
Giants
he'll
signed.
He'll find a job.
The Giants went for him in the deadline, and then they still were like, oh, well, now this guy we wanted the deadline is available as a pickup.
That was just a jab at him because he was a Cardinal.
Yeah.
I shouldn't jab on like one of the greatest ISU baseball players of all time.
Yeah. Well, in a couple of years, somebody will be saying that about Ryan Cermak, and you're just going to really feel bad. Let's move on to the men's basketball team.
Yeah.
You got it. We're going to move on to the men's basketball squad, where they had a win last night as well. It was, again, pretty scrappy.
It was
not pretty. I don't know if anyone else was able to see that, but it was not pretty. They got a win, though. That's all that matters.
It took them a while to kind of get into this game. It was super close for a good while now. And once again, the score obviously only being 8 points, not really because Eastern was just fouling and making shots towards the end of the game. I think the biggest thing that to take away from this game is you really got to get your I guess you could call it a big three of Poindexter, Burford, and Lewis. I know they're dealing with injuries as well you want to get them going if you think that you legitimately have something going here. But I will say something I really like to see was the freshman, Kinzinger.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people going into this year were hyping up Ty Pence, but he played 19 minutes and went 5 of 6 from the field. Made a three-pointer as well. So he looks really good in the early going, and he seems like he's going to be Coach Peden's prominent backup point guard for a good majority of the season here. His size doesn't even he's a small guy, but it really doesn't matter because he was able to make shots all over the floor yesterday.
They move on to the Gulf Coast Showcase. They'll play Long Beach State, Iona, and High Point, and then they'll play an additional game on Wednesday, TBD, depending on how that tournament goes. I've heard from Bill Sawyer, who's the SID for ISU men's basketball, about how great that trip is every single year. They always go on some kind of southern trip, either do like as far as like the Bahamas or, you know, in this case, Florida. And they do a fun, like a lot of it is just kind of team bonding. They do team dinners. It's a great way to kind of kick off their season. And I think that's so cool. They always do that every single year. Usually they play some decent opponents too, as they're doing this year. Isn't like Iona where that one guy went to coach? Like
Rick Pitino.
No, not Rick Pitino. The remember the guy in March Madness last year who was like he coached like Farley Dickinson or something, and then he went and then he took a job I think at Iona.
I think Pitino is at Iona.
Is he?
Yeah.
Somebody, what's his name?
I mean, Iona's been a tournament team here and there the last couple of
years. Yeah, this is what I'm thinking of. Tobin Anderson. He took the job.
He took the
job at Iona after he went through.
Who am I thinking of for Rick Pitino?
He went through the tournament. Ferguson, you know what I'm talking about? He went to the tournament last year with, I think, Fairleigh Dickinson. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he won a couple games. Yeah, here it is.
That's why I have it. So it was like a cycle because Rick Pitino was the coach of Iona, and then he left after a pretty solid year to take a job at St. John's, and they got, what's his name again, Tobin Anderson.
Yeah. I think one thing, going back to the ISU team, I liked how many points Dalton Banks had against St. Louis. That was a great loss against St. Louis. They were getting blown out in the first half, and then they came back to only lose by 9, and it was really kind of like we talked about the women's game, some late shots by St. Louis. Like, it was not a terrible loss. I think when healthy, this ISU team could be really good, because that game they missed both Kendall Lewis and Darius Burford. Thank you. And it's just, I don't know. I think I've heard it a couple times. When they're healthy, they could be really solid.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a matter of a bunch of things like that. And that's been one of Kendall Lewis's things throughout his career.
We saw, and another guy that you didn't mention is, we saw Miles Foster have a really good game against, who am I missing? Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
He's also been really good for them so far this year as well. 11 points he's averaging on the season, and he just gets a ton of rebounds. He's super gritty down there. I like that pickup as well as Banks. I think they're two guys that Coach Peden's going to lean on heavily throughout the year.
When we come back for the Red Zone, we'll talk a lot about Normal Community High School. They're still in it in the state semifinals in 8A. Welcome back to the Red Zone. Mikey Fernelli, Ben Hootie, and Braden Fogerson. Today, I had the opportunity to talk to head coach Jason Drangwitz of the Normal Community High School Ironmen. They won the state title in 2007, and since then, they've had a lot of amazing years in 8A in that bracket. They've been truly the best team around here for high school football in the Bloomington Normal area, except this year, as you'll hear in the interview, all five local teams made it to the playoffs, but Normal Community still showed why they wear the crown in the Twin Cities. They are undefeated as it stands going into the last two games of the season, state semis, and then potentially a chance to play the state championship in Normal. I mean, that'd be crazy to have. Coach didn't want to talk about it too much. As you'll hear in this interview, it's mostly about their matchup against Downers Grove North, taking it 1 week at a time.
Mm.
Why shouldn't he? They're undefeated in the season, and they always took it 1 week at a time. But he did even admit that, yes, the thought has crossed pretty much everyone's mind, as I'm sure it has, they would be playing for state championship at Illinois State, where they're already going to have fan bus upon fan bus going to Downers Grove North this weekend. And can you imagine how many more fans there would be at Hancock Stadium if Normal Community was playing for a state title? And it would be against Mount Carmel, as Ben pointed out.
Or Batavia.
Well, probably Mount Carmel, who beat East St. Louis earlier this year at Hancock Stadium.
So I'm assuming since they're playing on the road that they're facing an undefeated team.
I believe so, yeah. They have to go play Downers Grove North, who's also really good. And you'll hear in this interview, kind of like our reporter Liam Lyons did, who you'll hear from actually later in this episode, kind of like he did when he talked to Drangwitz earlier in the season, there is a difference in between the football style of a program in near the city like Downers Grove North or Mount Carmel versus Normal Community High School here in the middle of the state in facility quality and the way they run and the way they get supported. And it's really interesting hearing this from Coach when they get into these playoff matchups, how that goes. First and foremost, why don't you just tell me a little bit about how you got to this point in this season thus far, just for our listeners?
I think, you know, we got to this point, and that you can take it all the way back to when we started workouts in the winter in January 5th or somewhere around those marks. And we had a really good winter in the weight room and training. We had a really good spring, had a great summer, and then we put together a bunch of really good practices in a row throughout the week with the same kind of preparation, mental focus on going 1-0 for the week. And our coaching staff's done a great job. Our players have done a great job rising to the challenge each week. And we've been fortunate enough to beat a lot of really good teams. go undefeated in the regular season, win the Big 12 conference title, in advance of the 7A state semifinals, which is definitely a special accomplishment, something that we haven't done here at Norman Community High School since 2007, so excited about it, but more than anything, it's always just fun and special to get to spend another week with your coaching staff and your kids.
And that's the key, right? You get to have all these extra weeks. What does that preparation look like for you in a playoff game week? Is it different than every week of an undefeated regular season, or is it just business as usual?
Well, for us, and I don't know if this is, you know, right or wrong, we take the same approach every week. It's about preparing against the opponent we're playing that week, but it's only about going 1-0 that week, and everything is focused on us preparing and practicing the best we can to be the best version of ourselves and improving. And we don't look past that week. We're not looking into the future ever throughout the season. We don't talk about the future. We try to talk about the here and now and being present during that week, because unless you take care of the current business, future business doesn't matter at all.
And so we talk about the present business and Downers Grove North. What do you know about your opponent, and what are you prepping this week? Obviously, you can't give much away, but what's the prep look like specifically this week?
Well, one, we know that they're an outstanding football team. They played a lot of good opponents, beat a lot of really good teams, beat a lot of good teams after only two losses or two. Elmhurst, York, an 8A semifinalist as well, and Lyons Township, another really talented 8A program. So we know we have a huge challenge in front of us. They're good in all three phases, as you would expect from anybody that's playing at this point. They're good on offense, defense, special teams. They're extremely well coached. They're physical. They have good playmakers. They're disciplined. All the things you would expect in an outstanding football team and program like they have. It's a challenge, but it's definitely a challenge we're looking forward to, and are excited about the opportunity to play up there on Saturday.
I think they could say a lot of the same about your roster, Coach, and I want to say a lot of successful seasons in your time. What sets this team apart as the reason why this is the team to make it all the way to be a game away from that state game?
I think it goes back kind of my first answer. You know, it's about the winter, spring, summer that we had, getting ready for the season, working the right way, preparing the correct way. And I truly think it's been our ability to stack day after day, week after week of good practices and get better each and every week. That's a credit to our assistant coaches, our coordinators who've laid out great plans, and our players' willingness to buy in to the importance of prep and practice and what the coach is asking. Obviously, we feel like we've got some really talented players that do a lot of things really well, and when you prepare the right way, you practice the right way, good things tend to happen, and I think that's what we're seeing the results of this year so far.
I know we had a reporter earlier in the year set up an interview with you just to talk about the team in general during the undefeated regular season. And one of the things you talked about then that I think might be coming into play now against your opponent here in the playoffs is, what is the difference in football, in state football, between a school here in your conference downstate versus up north in the Chicago suburbs?
I think if you looked at the primary difference, you'd probably say who you're playing week in and week out on a daily basis. You know, they're in a 7A, 8A conference playing teams of that size, and we're the biggest team in our conference playing 6A, 5A. I think that's a big difference. I think the resources might be a little bit different. You know, they might have a bigger weight room. They might have a little bit more, we got turf on their field, things like that. But those are things you can't control, so we try not to worry about those things. Other than that, you know, we think we prepare and have a really good, we play a really good form of football down here, just like they do up there. And we're just hoping to put our best foot forward and focus on the things that we can control, because you can't worry about those external. They're just external noise that don't matter in the grand scheme of things when you get ready to play any game, let alone a playoff game or a state semifinal game.
This is maybe the first year in a long time where not only your program, obviously, who's usually playing pretty well in recent years, but where the other programs in town, including Normal U-High and Central Catholic and Bloomington High School and Normal West, everyone kind of made the playoffs. Everyone did well this season. What does that say about this area and the Twin Cities and how high school football exists?
I think it says three things about here. One, I think you got outstanding football players that play down here in the Bloomington Normal area. Number two, I think it says that we have outstanding coaches. head coaches and assistant coaches that, that do things the right way. And then three, that there's just a lot of pride taken, a lot of hard work put into putting the best product out on the field. When you have good coaches, good players, and people that work really hard, success tends to find those people, those groups, or those teams.
I know you said you don't like to look in the future. I apologize. I need to ask. I know it's an elephant in the room that the state championship would be here in Normal. Has that crossed you or your players' mind?
I'm sure it's crossed our mind. I mean, it's impossible for it not to cross your mind, just knowing what the future could possibly hold. But to be honest, we haven't said anything about it. We haven't talked about it. We haven't talked about next week. We haven't talked about anything other than our week of preparation and approach, having great effort, acting with great purpose, and putting our best foot forward when we go on the road to Downers Grove North. I think inevitably people are going to talk about it, but we try to do our very best that we don't even mention those things, because all that matters right now is what we're trying to accomplish on Saturday.
Absolutely makes sense. And I'm sure you'll have tons of people who travel with you just to watch the game at Downers Grove North. What has that support been like from this community?
Yeah, I think it's outstanding. I feel really blessed and really honored to be a part of this program that has such a tremendous following. On Saturday at Clambard East, our bleachers were filled with people along the fence line. It makes you feel a tremendous amount of pride. It's emotional. It can be overwhelming that people care that much and support you that well. But I think it's a credit to the quality program that we have, the type of young men we have in our program, the coaches that we have. And I just feel blessed to be and lucky to be a part of it.
Is there any better way to spend your Thanksgiving than potentially prepping for a game like that?
I don't think it can get much better than that, but we'll worry about that when we get there. Hopefully we put ourselves in a position for that, but we know we have a tremendous challenge on Saturday with how good Downers Grove North is in all phases, how well coached they are. But we also like to think we're pretty good. We're going to present some challenges as well, but we'll find out on Saturday.
Absolutely. Coach, any last thoughts as we kind of wrap this up and about what you want to tell people or our listeners about this game against Downers Grove North?
Well, I just think it's going to be a great atmosphere. We'd love to see as many people up there as possible. We appreciate all the love and support that we've been getting in the postseason, but not in postseason, but all year. And just appreciation to you guys for taking time to cover high school athletics, especially our program, to make them feel special. We feel pretty lucky and just want to tell everybody out there thank you, including you guys, for taking time to cover our program.
Thank you to Coach Drangwitz for doing that interview with me this morning. He's awesome, and he's such a classic coach when it comes to that, right? Like, he doesn't want to even think about how cool it would be to have that in his backyard, because it's 1 week at a time. They're an undefeated season. Why not just look at your next opponent? I think his exact quote was something like, if we start making plans for the future, it doesn't matter unless we take care of business today, or something like that, which is a hard quote from Coach Drangwitz.
You can't lose sight of that. And what's interesting is, like, all of these teams that are from Bloomington Normal, you know, any team that beats a team from Bloomington Normal, to someone that comes from Bloomington Normal and is watching a state championship game, root for the team, and they're like, well, if we lost, we might as well lose to the champion. Or they're like, we want this team to lose because, you know, they beat us, you know.
We got 4 minutes before we invite Liam onto the show and do some NFL talk. Ben went to high school in St. Lawrence. I went to high school at Cary Grove. Both are also still involved in separate brackets. I unfortunately will not be able to make it back, which stinks because it's at ISU. Ben was talking about how he'd definitely get a chance to see St. Lawrence play at ISU. But there's definitely something to be said about how cool it is when a state championship football team kind of goes on a run like that. I mean, the community usually bands behind them. I know, Ben, you had mentioned you guys had fallen in the state championship a number of times in recent years. I was lucky enough when I was a junior in high school, they won state, and I was able to cover the team through all their trip to U of I. And it's so cool that for the next 5 years, it's back in Normal where it once was. And I think it's going to make for a lot of people excited to come travel down from the city to watch.
Yeah, I don't want to book on any future plans, but I think just what's even more exciting about it is the fact that it landed on this weekend and all the alums going up to St. Lawrence in Burbank, Illinois, just to watch the team, hopefully, because everyone's rallying around them. It's been a long time coming. They haven't won a state championship in football since the 80s. So
pretty neat.
It's a good culture. It's a great community, and we're really hoping and pulling for them that they can get down here to Normal, and I get to cheer them on.
Well, it's funny because Mount Carmel and East St. Louis played there. I think it was week one of the whole season in Hancock Stadium. Was it week two?
Week one.
Was it week
correct,
one? And it's funny because like it's almost like if you had the Chiefs and the like the Eagles play week one this year in Las Vegas,
yeah,
right? Because they were like, oh, this could very well be two teams that play in the championship, so let's just have them come play here to hype it up. Because what's going to end up happening is both those two teams are probably going to win their matchups this week, and they're going to play, potentially East St. Louis will play Cary Grove again in a rematch of the 2021 state championship, and Mount Carmel will have to play Normal Community or Downers Grove North. So it's really a small world.
Yeah. I don't know. I love them. When they announced the move last year that all the games were coming to Normal, I just think it was such a cool opportunity for not only Illinois State, but just that high school football in Illinois is so huge. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that enough. I mean, people make their put their days around the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, yeah, and that Saturday just to sit and watch,
yeah,
eight straight high school football games of the 16 best teams in the state. And it's so much fun to watch, and it's just a great high school football in the state of Illinois is just such great culture.
Former Broncos manager Braden Fogerson live on the show. You said at one point in your high school, which I'm already forgetting, where'd you go to high school again?
Sargoto B. Met.
I only remember because your shirt says the Broncos football.
Yeah.
You said at one point you guys touched the playoffs, which I'm mm-hmm. sure was huge, because if that was the expectation, like it almost kind of got lost in going to a school that was so good at high school football, because like making the playoffs was the expectation. But I'm sure you guys got really, really excited,
yeah,
when that one year.
It's different for a small school because you don't have a huge influx of talent from a big,
right,
town where you guarantee there's going to be a good amount of people that, you know, are going through school that have athletic talent. You take what you get. You don't get tryouts, and it all just depends on who happens to be living in your town at the time. That time we went on a playoff run, we were really good, could have been seated higher, and we had a star running back, Brady Greenwood, that was just phenomenal. And, you know, good quarterback, good receivers, everything. And just everyone got hurt in the last few games. And so snuck in with a 16 seed when we could have been seeded higher. And then faced Argenna, which is a team near Decatur. They ended up losing later in the playoffs, but they just whooped us. I don't even think I remember us scoring. I don't know. It felt different to have playoff football. It was my junior year. And it was just really, or maybe it was my sophomore year, but anyway, it was really cool. It was a really fun experience, and it's just a completely different world than, you know, big schools where they get this all the time. They always have several teams that are successful, something like that. It's completely different, and it just means a little bit more to these teams, even if they're not going to go all the way, because, yeah, it doesn't happen often.
When we come back, we'll talk a lot about the NFL, and Liam Lyons joins the show on the Red Zone. WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. I'm headed home following today's episode. It is Thanksgiving. It is time for turkey, for mashed potatoes. If you like it, like cranberry sauce, the stuffing, some bread rolls. Can't wait. My mom texted me that when I get home tonight, she made tacos tonight. They're in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
I used to pray for times like that. You're winning. I can't lose.
We up.
I can't lose. I feel so good that I get to go home and eat tacos. I'm going to make the 2.5-hour drive in like 15 minutes just to get those tacos while they're still hot. I'm not messing with the microwave.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As someone that hates microwaves.
No. Maybe the air fryer. Maybe I'll put it in the air fryer. But not the microwave. No. It's either cold or not.
Yeah.
Liam Lyons joins the show in the Z&D studio. Liam, first and foremost, before we get into the NFL, you did a story with Jason Drangwitz earlier in the year talking about when they had that undefeated season in its earlier stages. What did you hear from him then that kind of made you realize, like, yeah, this team could go all the way?
When I interviewed him back, like when I did my first interview with him, I wanted to know like what was the team what was it building up to, and he said that they had that loss last year in the playoffs by 1 point, and it was to build up to state, and that like really hit hard at me because I remember like back with like some of my teams, you lose in that tough game and you feel like it's the worst, and you just got to build the next year, and it seems like they were just building all the next year, all the prep in the weight room, all the prep on the field. They were really taking things seriously, a lot of returning seniors. And I feel like they were just all focused. There's like no like thought about the playoff game from last year. It's all go, and they've been all go, obviously, as they're about to make a run, hopefully, to the state championship against either Mount Carmel or Downers Grove North.
It's big opponents, but it's not to say they haven't played big opponents all season long. And I liked his quote about how all five Bloomington Normal teams made the playoffs this year, and it's a testament to, you know, you don't have to have the huge enrollment or the big money to do that. You can just have good coaches and players that buy in. So I really appreciated that. Speaking of good coaches and players that buy in, I guess we move on to the NFL, and our midseason check-in is what we're going to call it. We want to hear some big winners so far in the midseason, some big losers, some awards predictions, and I'm going to defer to Braden Fogerson first, because the Raiders won on Monday Night Football, or Sunday Night Football, excuse me, and are they back with their new interim coach? Wins in a row?
They are second in the AFC West, mm-hmm. And I will say, I don't think it matters if we lose the entire rest of the season. We don't have to deal with McDaniels anymore, and that's a win to me. But when you have someone that's likable, that's actually got a good personality, and that players like to rally around, it leads to a lot more wins than a guy that likes to suck the soul out of every single player on the roster. And so I think the Raiders definitely made a good move. I mean, even Mark Davis, who everyone hates on, like, he came into the stadium a week ago when he had fired him, and everyone was like, thank you, Mark, for listening to us, finally. It'd be nice if the other team that used to be in Oakland now and is now moving to Las Vegas would listen to their fans. But on the football side, I think things are looking up.
Random little A's jab there at the end, the Vegas Aces, the Vegas A's. They can't be the Vegas Aces, though, because that's already the WNBA team. That'd be really cool if they were the Vegas Aces with the A's logo, but I digress. Ben? What are your thoughts? You're going to be a resident Bears fan today, because I can't bear to do it.
I don't want to talk about them anymore. Can I just pick two winners that I want to talk
about? Fine. Who are your two winners?
My two winners are, first of all, I'll start with the AFC North. Disgusting, gross, gritty football that is so fun to watch. And we're going to see two great teams tonight in the Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore Ravens duel it out in a game that's probably going to end up being 21-14 because they just don't like to score points when they play against each other. You got four teams right now, all over 500, and obviously the injury to Deshaun Watson, it's not good. I don't know. They kind of shot themselves in the foot by releasing Josh Dobbs preseason, but it doesn't matter because their defense is so good, and for some reason they just know how to win football games with the worst quarterback in the NFL and P.J. Walker. Said, I know they're going to DTR. Doesn't matter. Steelers are fun. Got a great defense. Quarterback stinks. And you got two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Lamar Jackson, Cincinnati Bengals. My next winner, C.J. Stroud. Never in a million years did I think the Houston Texans were going to be a good football team this year, but they are a lot of fun. They are building around D'Amico Ryans. He's a great coach already, and C.J. Stroud is a player right now for MVP in the National Football League. Not going to say he is the MVP right now, but he is just playing some great football.
They need to send Lovie Smith an apologies card.
Right?
Because they just fired him right away when he gave up the number one overall pick, when in reality they were better off without it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right?
Everyone thought Lovie was trying to help out the Bears. No. Lovie was trying to keep his Texans job, and he just saw better things than Stroud, but knew he couldn't convince them to pick Stroud over Bryce Young. See, Lovie was thinking at a 2000 IQ, and everybody else was not on the same wavelength. I'll do a winner or a loser. The Bears are my obvious loser, right?
Yeah.
The expectations that you people all seem to think the Bears had, and I don't mean you people in this room, like you people listening, like everyone thought, oh man, this Bears team is really coming for them. They're going to be so good. They were so good last year. They gave us so much to do last year that made us think they're going to be good. No, they didn't. Do we not just learn last year that it doesn't matter how much yards Fields runs for? The omen of this year for the Bears should have been that when they dropped P.J. Walker, who beat the 49ers, in favor of a D2 quarterback.
He still stinks.
The teams that
he does stink, but not as bad as Bajent.
The teams that are terrible 1 year and then flip a switch and become good, like the Texans, those are the ones that you don't expect. You don't take a team that was definitely bad and you're like, oh, they'll be a lot better next year, and that actually happens. That's not the way the NFL works. It's always a team that no one saw coming that finds something that make it click.
They have a huge roster move, too, drafting C.J. Stroud, and then a huge resurgence of a player. And so far, Darnell Wright and D.J. Moore don't equal CJ Stroud so far, and it comes to 1 year. I mean, they think ultimately it's going to end up being a nice deal, but I'm just saying it really the kicking point of if a team's going to really flip the switch in a year is if they have that one huge, oh man, here's our Lord and Savior coming to our team.
Yeah, but two draft picks, both going to be phenomenal picks. Yeah. I mean, this didn't have to be your year.
And that's why I've just like kind of like slowly been boycotting the Bears this year, and I'll face paint my face again in time for the draft. We'll move on.
I think I'm going to say for mine, I was thinking a lot about this. I was actually going to talk about Stroud, but you did, so thank you. I'm an Ohio State fan, so I'll take that. For biggest winner, got to be the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of stuff on social media, the brand new Lions. And after watching the highlights from the Chargers-Lions game, I could say that the brand new Lions. Multiple fourth down situations with Dan Campbell. And what does he do? Not punt it, not kick it. He's going to run the ball with Dave Montgomery. He's going to throw it with Jared Goff. He was able to show the Chargers why they are an awful defense, exposing them and winning that game in great fashion. 7-2 record. And I think that they're going to obviously continue to show that against the Chicago Bears.
Dude, you mentioned it like... That was an insane play call the other day. They were at midfield, 4th and 5, and Campbell just decides to run it with Dave Montgomery for like 15 yards. That's never a 4th down play call.
Never.
When you're 5 yards back, but Dan Campbell put it on the table.
He just believes in his guys.
If Montgomery would have been stopped at the line of scrimmage, Campbell's the first one to get blamed too. It's not like it's, you know what I mean? If Montgomery stopped at the line of scrimmage, it's like, oh, here's a Matt Nagy play call.
It's a risk reward.
But how can you not root for Dan Campbell, man? Like, this dude cares about his players.
I get it, but I just thought this year I kind of get it, but like last year with Hard Knocks and stuff, I just thought it was getting a bit too much. Like, okay, I get it. Like, it's fine. He's a likable guy. Like, that's all. Like, people were acting like he was Bill Belichick or something, even though I think Bill Belichick is proving maybe that's another loser of this season, actually.
Yeah.
I don't mean to do a completely 180 and get back myself out of a corner, but I'm going to do it because I think Bill Belichick might be another loser. I think my favorite tweet I've seen all year, and I'm surprised Braden didn't tweet this, is a Fulgerson type tweet, was no, Belichick will be fine. He just needs the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's true. I'm starting to think maybe it was a lot more of Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
I've got one more loser. The entire running back position of the entire NFL has been so mid and so underwhelming. And as someone that plays fantasy, there hasn't been a whole lot of players that have been reliable all year or like outperforming all year. There's been a whole lot of wide receivers to make up for it. I don't know if it's more of a passing league or what, but running backs just don't have it consistently.
All right, we got a couple minutes. We're going to move on from winners and losers. I would like to hear what everyone thinks the match will be in the championship of the NFL this season. Because we'll go back to this.
The NFC championship game is what you're saying?
The game in which the NFC and the AFC play. It's a new thing they came up with at one point. Joe Namath won, actually, so they're coming up with it. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. It's a new thing. It's a merger. They're merging the American Football Conference and the National Football League. They're going to play. So who do you guys think will happen this year?
I don't know. There's a lot of good teams. A lot of teams have disappointed so far.
I'm going to write it down.
I think at mid-season, I'm going to go Philly-Baltimore.
Philly and Baltimore.
Yes.
The Eagles and the Ravens, a Bird Bowl.
Bird Bowl.
See, we can call it Bird Bowl on air, then. That'd actually be kind of nice. Liam?
You mentioned the Ravens, and I just don't see it happening. It happens every year. Everyone's like, oh, they're so good. And then what happens? They lose in the first round. To somebody.
I know.
I'm sorry to Philly, but I'm going to have to go with the Niners and the Chiefs. Rematch of the Super Bowl. They don't have Jimmy G anymore, but I mean, Brock Purdy, he's had some bad games, but Debo's back. Their offense is back. The defense has been better. They just got Chase Young. They're going to be way better. I think they're going to take that, and if I had to pick a winner, it's 49ers right now for me.
Fulgerson?
Can I refuse to pick? Because I think it's too early. I mean, other than just what all we know from last year, there's not a whole lot of stuff that we can know that's like, this team has a championship caliber team, other than the teams that we've already seen make it. So, like, I don't know. Give me a rematch or something, but, like, I don't see
it. You stole my pick. You stole it right there at the end.
I meant a rematch of the New Orleans game where they ran out of power. I meant the Niners and the Ravens. That way you can have your pick.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you. It's been the year of the Kelce brothers. And it's been one of them has been named one of People's Magazine's Sexiest Men Alive candidate. The other one is dating Taylor Swift. I mean, it's been the year of the Kelce brothers. Just saying all that in a sentence. They're coming out with another Christmas album. Travis is singing on one of the songs. So you know all the Swifties are going to get that to number one in the charts. Why not? You know how marketable it would be for the NFL if they had a rematch of the big game last year again? And both those teams look like the best teams in their conferences again.
True.
I think that could just – it might be kind of a safe pick, but I think an Eagles-Chiefs setup could be pretty fun. I think it could be kind of cool again.
I like the pick. I just wanted to be a little different. And I'm still sticking by my preseason pick of Cincinnati and San Francisco, but what I've seen out of the Niners and Eagles thus far, I really liked it, so that's why I was riding
the
with it.
The year of the Kelce brothers, and you're going against them.
It is.
It's not the year of the Purdy brothers.
The Swifty here on
I know.
Red Zone.
Where's your pun?
Do you think that if they got the Kelce brothers in the Super Bowl again, they would drop Usher and make Taylor Swift do the halftime show?
She wouldn't do it.
She wouldn't do it. She's too much in her prime. Like, I think maybe give it 10 years or something, and maybe she'll do it.
Yeah.
True. I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe she'll just, like, show up on stage.
She's not going to beat Prince anyway.
No, she can't.
No.
In the Purple Rain? No.
Mm-mm.
In the Purple Rain. The Purple Rain that stopped the Bears from winning a big game, actually. So when we come back, we'll do pick 9. Ooh. We joined for pick 9, where Ben just pointed out, I think you were trying to reference that the Eagles and the Chiefs are playing this week.
Is that
what you're saying? Yeah, they're playing on Monday Night Football.
I can't wait.
The Kelce brothers, the Kelce Bowl. Apparently, Taylor Swift's parents and Mama Kelce are meeting.
And they're, Taylor Swift's coming in from Argentina morning to watch.
What team is she going to root for? She's an Eagles fan.
I know. It's crazy.
Ooh, that might be a breakupable offense at some point. I don't know. Fogerson and Liam seem done with this conversation with Taylor Swift. I think they want to move on to the actual games.
I already hate the Chiefs. Like, they're my lead. I hate the Chiefs more than any team in the NFL. Like, I have plenty of reason to be over the Kelce stuff. So,
Like,
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I do my TV 10 shift every morning, and the guy on the radio is like, Taylor Swift has this going on now.
Good voice for it.
Like, ugh.
I've been done with the Taylor Swift stuff ever since the Bears played the Chiefs, and every time it's like it's
the first
like,
time when the Taylor Swift stuff started.
I just don't want to talk about that game. I mean, Jason Kelce did kind of redeem it last week, being on Thursday Night Football. Him like howling and stuff on air was kind of funny. But
what if Hunter Renfrow was dating Taylor Swift? Would you have the same opinion, Fogerson?
About what?
If Hunter Renfrow was dating Taylor Swift on the Raiders?
I think that'd be a much better power couple.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be over Taylor Swift at all.
We move on to pick 9. We're calling it pick 9 today because we have 6 NFL games and we have the Thanksgiving slate. We're not going to pick every game for the Thanksgiving week, but we will pick 6 for this week and then 3 for next week because we will not have an episode. We don't want you to have to walk away from your Thanksgiving dinner to listen to us. So
we
want to
get the easy ones out of the way first.
The Thanksgiving games? But first I want to let Ben do his standings check.
Running over a quick leaderboard. Steve still in the lead, 41-19 on the season. The guests, 37-23. Myself, after a 5-1 week, goes 10 games above 35-25. Mikey, 33-27 in fourth. And Fogerson on a lonely island in last place at 32-28.
I guess we're right where I want to.
It's time. He mentioned this week in the office, if he wouldn't have gone 0-6 in week 1 or whatever it was, this would be a totally different ballgame because I've not been good recently.
Yeah.
I was doing better. I was in second for a while, and then the guest, Liam Lyons, and whoever, all of his companions, last week it was Kaylee and Jameson together. The guest has just found ways to win. The guest has always been pretty good. Like, I don't think the guest has had very many negative weeks. The guest has always been pretty solid. Fogerson, you suggested we do Thanksgiving game first.
Or just the easy, like the Bears game this week could also go earlier than any of the fun.
So you're saying
matchups.
Jump around the order a little bit.
We could jump, I mean, if you don't around. Want to, that's fine.
No, I agree. We can compare each of these matchups with different Thanksgiving food.
I think we should just knock out Bears and Packers right away for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's like the green beans that your aunt brings. Like your mom's going to force you to put them on the plate, but you don't want it to be there.
I'll kick it off and say that the Bears are going to get demolished by the Lions this week. Lions, and Steve had the Lions as well, of course.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Detroit as well in this week. Fogerson?
Detroit.
Liam?
I'm going to go Detroit. It's not going to, I don't know if it's going to be a full blowout, but we're going to lose. Detroit.
We're going to lose. I love the still the were. Never stop bearing down.
Always bear down.
And we move on to the Chargers and the Packers. It's just even more mid than green beans. I don't even have a comparable food item. I am reluctantly picking the Chargers, even though I will not watch a lick of that game.
Tough loss for the Chargers last week. lost in a shootout to Detroit, but they are so much better than the Packers. Give me the Chargers.
Frogerson.
Chargers, not by much.
Good thing we don't pick the score.
No, actually, I think it will be by much, because the Chargers score a lot and the Packers
don't
win unless no one is scoring. So I don't think that'll be close.
Yeah, this is going to be one of their classic like 2016 squeak outs like they often do.
I'm going to go Chargers, but it would be the most Chargers thing ever to just somehow lose this game. Like, they could have won so many games this year.
Brandon Staley might get fired on the spot if they lose this game.
I think that they should be, because Herbert, they're just wasting Herbert's talent. He's another Philip Rivers for them, honestly. I think
I appreciate their coach, Raiders are second in the league.
Their offense coordinator is better than their coach.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, well, pick seven, because we swept those first two, and I have a feeling we're going to sweep at least two out of the three for Thanksgiving.
Should we jump to Thanksgiving?
Let's jump for Thanksgiving.
These are some really good matchups.
Yeah, so this is not the turkey or the stuffing on the plate. This is again, some mid-games for Thanksgiving. Well, I mean, but you have to have Dallas. You have to have Detroit every Thanksgiving, right? No, you have to. It's institutionalized. It's a classic. You have to. It's just like turkey during Thanksgiving dinner. Like, who actually openly is like, I can't wait to eat turkey? Like, it's fine. Am I wrong with that opinion? Are you a huge turkey guy?
It depends on how you make it. If you give it the butter injection, if you put it on a charcoal grill, like, heck yeah. Like, if you just put it in the oven and, like, it's dry, like, I can see why people don't like it. But if you can really cook a good turkey, it's real good.
Here's a matchup that could have been good, but it wasn't a properly cooked turkey. The Lions and the Packers. I think Detroit again, right?
I just looked this up because I knew it's been a long time. You know, the Lions haven't won on Thanksgiving since 2016. And
really?
They play in it every single year.
They've always been good.
These are the new Lions.
I can't believe they're going to start. Because if I'm going based on what I'm saying, they're going to start the season 11-2? That doesn't sound right. So I kind of want to go Packers, but I'm going to stick with the Lions for now. But I might have just, like, I feel like I might have just given Braden a kick to go
Steve
Packers.
Steve obviously said the Lions. And as Ben just pointed out there, as I rudely cut him off, yeah, there's room to pick the Packers, Braden.
If you could pick the Packers, but it would be based on variables that I don't know a week out. And so I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I respect that.
That is true.
I respect that.
It is tough to pick these games right now, and you almost just want to go with the favorites because...
Brother Rice legend, Liam Lyons.
I'm going to go with the Lions here. Jordan Love, I feel like, is going to have a better day against the Lions defense than he will against LA, even though LA is the worst defense. But I'm going to go with the Lions for Thanksgiving.
That's got to be weird saying that name. I never connected those. It'd be like if Braden was like, I'm going with the Detroit Fogersons. Like, that's gotta be weird.
It's
your name.
Yeah.
It's spelled a little bit differently, though.
You start saying the Campbells.
Campbells. All right, we got the Commanders and the Cowboys. Again, I feel like that could have been a nicely cooked matchup. Wait, what do you mean, speaking of Campbells?
Oh, Dak Prescott. I just always associate him with Campbell's soup.
Oh, because of the commercials. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that segue. I should have thought of that one. All right, we'll move on to the Commanders and Cowboys. Braden, you go first.
Cowboys, I just feel like on Thanksgiving you have to pick the traditional teams, you know.
Apparently Detroit hasn't won for those betters since 2016 for the traditional
team.
They've
definitely covered a lot of games, though.
Mm-hmm. One of which was the Bears. No, they didn't cover that game. The Bears beat them hard on Thanksgiving in 2018. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun game. We had like two pick sixes.
And then the Bears won on a field goal a couple of years ago, too. I think it was two now.
Yeah.
Last year, Mitch.
So Brayden's going with the Cowboys. So am I. And Steve did as well.
I want the Commanders. I want them. I like Sam Howell. I think he has been a lot better. He just keeps throwing that football, and he's got like eight guys he could throw it to that aren't like the greatest of all time. But I don't know. The Cowboys are just always due for one like every other week, it feels like. So I'm going to say they win this week and then lose on a short week to Commanders.
Liam?
I know it's kind of tradition for people to be like, I even say in air quotations, America's team to win on Thanksgiving, but I think the Commanders are going to win this one. The Cowboys have been hyped up as this team who scores as a high-powered offense all year, but, I mean, this is about a time in the midseason where they're just going to collapse, I feel like, or just, like, lose some games they shouldn't be losing, and I got the Commanders. Sam Howell, great day for him.
So you're going with the Commanders as well?
Yes.
We move on to the last Thanksgiving game, the 49ers and the Seahawks. I'm going first because I'm trying to break the mold. I'm going Seattle. I'm doing it. Mm. The Niners have not been flawless. Yes, they may go win the NFC, but they're not flawless. And that Seattle defense is pretty solid, and they have a lot of great targets. And Geno's been waking up in recent weeks. I'm just picking it so I can move up in the standings. But out of the three, I'll say this, out of the three Thanksgiving games, I think this is the most likely of the upsets in my book. So I'm going with Seattle.
I could see that. I'm going to stick with the Niners. I really liked what I saw against Jacksonville. I think they're right back to being back. Seattle, I kind of disagree with you. I think they've been limping a little bit as of late. Especially Geno. He's having a tough time.
He's serviceable.
He's fine, but I don't know. This is a big game either way for when it comes to the division because of the fact that they're two teams that are in a very tightly contested race. I'll take the better team in the Niners.
Liam?
A rematch of last year's playoffs. I think it's going to play out just like how it did in the playoffs last year. I got Niners.
Fogerson?
I'll take the Niners.
Nice. I get a point.
Or you don't.
Or you don't.
Yeah, or you don't.
Glass half full. Turkey half eaten. That's how we're looking at these things. So we actually are back to pick six at this point because three of the games are sweeps.
We have four games left.
We do.
These games have to be the best Thanksgiving meals. What are the best Thanksgiving meals?
I like mashed potatoes.
Bengals Ravens is...
Beef house roll. That's a beef house roll right there.
All right.
Okay, that's fine. Braden, go for Ravens and Bengals. Ravens and Bengals.
For some reason, Baltimore's two-thirds favorites, and I don't buy that. So I'd go Cincinnati. Not by much, but...
This is tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is tonight. This is
in 5 minutes.
This turkey's almost cooked.
Yeah.
I gotta stop with those puns. We're almost done. We'll know this one tonight. We'll know this one as people are listening to this episode after the fact. They'll know how wrong we are. Unlike the other ones where we can just pick Seattle and forget about it.
The broadcaster just couldn't handle the pun game.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. Yeah. I'm done with it. Kidding. The bird's getting cooked. I'm going with the Bengals. The Bengals are taking this one tonight. We go to Ben.
You guys are the worst. I have a Joe Burrow shirt on. I have to go with the Bengals. They need to bounce back after an unforeseen loss to the Texans. So, yeah, I'm going Cincinnati.
Steve went with the Bengals?
Liam? Everyone beginning of the year was the Bengals are really scaring me. They have a bad start. But this happens almost every year with Joe Burrow and his team. So, apart from LSU, but we're not going to talk about that. I got Bengals today because I feel like even though they don't have team Higgins,
it should not
fourth
be.
Sweep.
I'm going
fourth
with the Bengals. Sweep. I'm
four
going.
Sweep.
This should not be a sweep.
We have picked six games, and we have four of them as sweeps right now. We have three games left. Okay, what are the Steelers and the Browns? We don't have that much longer on the show here.
Yeah,
what are the Steelers and the Browns for our Thanksgiving food? Somebody think of it.
A nice, smooth gravy.
Okay, I like that pick. And because gravy can be brown color usually, so it's the Cleveland Browns. Okay.
I can agree.
So I'm gonna go with the Browns in this one. They have a really solid defense. Pickett and the Steelers find ways to win games, as the Steelers always do every single year, but I think the Browns' defense is next level. And I think even without Deshaun Watson, I think just like when they beat the 49ers with P.J. Walker, I think it doesn't really matter. So I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'm gonna be right there with you. I think they'll buy around the fact that they lost their quarterback for the year, and both really good two of the best defenses in the league, arguably. Yeah. It's going to be a gross game, as I said when I was talking about the NFC North, but I like it a lot. I like it for the Browns. I don't know why. They just have something about them this year.
Liam?
I'm going to go with the Steelers, only because the last time Dorian Thompson-Robinson started a game was when LeBron made his bet picks, and he threw for three picks on the day. So I'm going to go with the Steelers. Big day from T.J. Watt and Hayward.
T.J. Hawkinson.
Yeah, a great day.
Steve went with the Steelers as well. Braden to break the tie.
Pickett is due for a good game. He's had a couple rough ones in a row. I think he'll kind of be a leader late in this one.
Nice, man. We get some points. All right, moving on to the Vikings and Broncos country. Let's ride.
Vikings. Vikings. Vikings.
Wow. Okay, Ben, you go.
Josh Dobbs' miracle run up. It's up. And just like Russell Wilson is... He's up right now.
Yep.
And
we
I'm going with the Broncos. They are just shocking me in many different ways.
Liam?
I'm going Broncos as well. Russell Wilson, 18 touchdowns and 4 picks. Dobbs, great story, but the Broncos got this one.
Steve went with the Broncos, and I'm saying Mr. Unlimited and the Denver Broncos to win this one. They won me $80.
5-1?
They won me $80 last week on Monday Night Football because I'm in a year-long pick 'em pool where you make your picks every week, and all it took was for me to win, was for the Broncos to beat the Bills in prime time in the shining lights in Buffalo, and they did it. All right, last game. We have about 30 seconds. Last game. Yeah, it was 5-1 picks in that one, Brady. You get a point.
Yes.
Eagles and Chiefs. This one better not be a sweep. I have the Chiefs, and Steve has the Chiefs, so it's up to you guys to make it not a sweep.
Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles. Taylor Swift Bowl, Kelce Bowl, whatever it might be. Don Kelce's going to be in attendance. Eagles get some redemption in this one.
Eagles as well. I need Jason Kelce to get that win.
Fogerson, to end the last episode before Thanksgiving.
Anyone have a coin? I'm going to go Eagles.
Nice. Me and Steve get a point. All right. After the Pick 6 segment, I'm Mike Brunelli, Braden Fogerson, Liam Lyons, and Ben Hootie. Have a great Thanksgiving.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson looking out, drives inside, going to find Mary Crompton for her first three of the day, and it's good.
Curry owned the league last year, and sure. Personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
Grady, I've got five.